Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for March 30th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud, man? Baseball has started!
Bud man? I feel like the butt of that joke. Oh, baseball has indeed started. Actually, started a while ago, but now it's official. The games count, which is nice.
Right. I mean, you know, for me, opening day... Those other things that happened, all that stuff that happened before, that was rehearsal.
Yeah, fair enough. Rehearsal, that's a good way of putting it.
And this is the real stuff.
It's not unimportant, but it don't count.
Right. All right. On this week's show, we're going to talk to Aaron Horeda of the Yomiuri Giants, and we're going to talk about opening day, opening weekend, and answer a listener question. So let's start swinging.
Ring the bases!
All right, so I went out to Tokyo Dome for opening day on Friday and talked to some Bay Stars, talked to some of the Giants, talked to a lot of the reporters, some I haven't seen since the, I guess for me, since the end of the season last year, since the end of the
Which
regular
was what?
Season.
May for you?
Well, no, whatever the last interview I did. And then I got to talk to Aaron Parady. You know, he's from Walnut Creek, California.
Yes, he's a San Francisco Don.
San Francisco University?
University of San Francisco Don.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even look that far. I just saw Walnut Creek, and I'm like, whoa, he's one of us. He's from California.
Oh, I thought you were
that
saying
one of us, a California
yeah,
person.
Exactly. One of those one of us. Damn Yankees.
But yeah, you could tell. I mean, it's so obvious he's new. He was with the White Sox, Padres, and Rangers organizations, and now he's here in Japan. And it has to be tough joining a new team that's won 3 straight titles. I think the expectations for the team are high.
Mm.
I think, you know, for him, the pressure has to be a little bit. I mean, he probably feels it. But
right
in the preseason, he didn't have a great preseason. It wasn't bad. He had an ERA of 3. He had 18 innings pitched and 17 hits allowed, which isn't great. But he had 12 Ks. He walked only 5.
I saw one of his good games. So.
And obviously, this was opening day. He was going to pitch the middle game of that series against the Bay Stars. The Giants opened up against the Bay Stars at home. So they ended up losing his game. 10-2, and he only went 5 innings, and he allowed 4 runs. Only 3 were earned on 6 hits and 3 walks. But he fanned 7. And when you hear the interview, you'll be talking about how he describes himself as a pitcher. So anyway, let's take a listen.
All right, our guest on the show this week is Aaron Parada. We appreciate you joining us.
It's great to be here.
All right, welcome to Japan and in your first year. How was that long spring winter camp for you?
The spring camp went very well. First couple days were a little rough adjusting to their long practice and ground balls and their culture, but I felt like I adjusted quickly. I had an open mind about coming here, and before long, I basically it was just like every other day.
Is it too long? Is it just right? How was it for you that first camp? Because they start on February 1st, so I know it's a different for first-time players here.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an adjustment coming into camp. A lot of the Japanese pitchers were throwing very long bullpens, so it was somewhat intimidating. But you just have to stay within yourself. You stay open to their different ways that they go about things. So you do things a little bit differently, but you still stay within yourself and do your own routine.
You need to try 150 pitch bullpens.
Actually, right off the start, no. I started very low and worked my way up. But gradually, once I became into the starting role, I threw about 3 or 4 innings in the game and then threw another 2 or 3 innings in the bullpen. So eventually I was able to throw those big, long bullpen sessions. But you have to work your way up to that.
Did you count the pitches? How many did you throw?
Yeah, there's some days I threw a total of 150 if you count the game and the bullpen.
All right. So I see your arm still attached.
Right.
So how'd you end up actually coming to Japan? How'd you end up joining the Giants?
My agent just said, hey, are you open to the idea of playing for a Japanese or a Korean team or somewhere international? And I talked over the family, and it seemed like they really wanted me. And one idea that I've always kept to my heart is you go to the team that wants you the most, and it seemed like the Giants were adamant about having me, so I was open to the idea and ended up agreeing to it.
Excellent. Now, anything caught you off guard so far since you got here?
Yeah, the culture difference is huge over here. It's hard finding shoes. I have big feet, and so...
I wear 30.
Yeah, I have a 34, okay. And so they don't exactly have shoes here in Japan my size.
Or clothes.
Right, and so I didn't know that you need to have indoor shoes, you know, outdoor shoes, because just the culture differences, you have your separate weight room shoes, your running shoes, your plastics, your spikes, and so I was scrambling to find all the shoes and not, you know, wearing my outdoor shoes in the weight room and disrespect anyone like that, so right. I had to have my wife ship over about 4 or 5 pairs, and then finally, you know, Nike and New Balance started sending me some stuff, but it took a couple months for them to get around, so finally, I'm all taken care of.
Okay, good to hear that. Now, how would you describe yourself as a pitcher?
Big presence on the mound, strong fastball, good slider, like to be intimidating, throw inside, and really get after the hitters.
Now, how's it been throwing to these catchers here in Japan? You got two catchers, Aikawa and Kobayashi, and I know they're different.
Oh, they've been great. Kobayashi has a really good arm, so you know he's going to be throwing out runners at second. They frame the ball great. We seem to be on the same page a lot of the time, which is very important. And I trust them to know the Japanese hitters and know their weaknesses and know my strengths. And we go over what we want to do as the game goes on. And it's great having them as catchers.
Now, when you say on the same page, are you thinking along the same pitch sequence, or are you just trying to fit in with the particular? Because you're still learning the hitters, right?
We're basically talking about how I love to go inside fastball, you know, bury them with sliders, mix in the changeup and curveball, cutter, things like that, what to throw certain hitters and what counts, what I like to throw the lefties more than righties, and then the coaches also have their input of what's better for a particular count or what they see as strengths and weaknesses. So you just have an open ear to what they're suggesting and kind of mix and match of what you want to do and what you think your strengths are, and you find that common ground.
All right, so they make a big deal about opening day and opening weekend and opening series and all that stuff. How important is it for you personally?
Oh, it's a great honor to be part of the club opening day. There's lots of high-fiving and handshakes, and everyone's wishing each other good luck, and it's just lots of honor and respect for teammates and coaches, and everyone's very warm and welcome, and it's just great atmosphere to be around.
I'm talking about wins and losses, though. I mean, how is it important you know, in the meat and potatoes world, how important is it to get off to a good start, or, you know, it's just one game, you know, you have to think of it as just one game and all that stuff. What's your attitude going in?
Yeah, definitely getting a win right off the bat is important. The Giants have a long history of winning. A lot of great players have come through here. And so if we can get one win off the board just like that, these things can snowball. So once you get rolling, especially if you roll right off the bat and maybe the other team falters a little bit, you can take advantage of that. So it's very important to get a hot start.
All right, so your expectations for season? Personal expectations?
Just to stay healthy, have good success, get a whole bunch of wins under my belt and for the team, and bring home championship.
All right, well, you guys, 3 times straight and running. I know this is your first time joining it, and you're getting in while the train's going. I know you don't want to slow it down. What are your goals?
Big goal of mine is just to be very aggressive. Don't walk guys. Fill up the zone. You know, try to get a bunch of strikeouts, and really just go long into the games. Force early contact. Pitch 7, 8, maybe 9 innings. A complete game, that would be great. I haven't thrown a complete game since I was coming up in rookie ball in Double A. So being able to stretch it out and go that long is a big goal of mine.
All right. Well, good luck. Thank you very much for taking the time with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so big presence on the mound, fastball slider. That's Aaron Pareda. So
yeah, pretty much. What's the... I talked to Aaron after one of his first start at Tokyo Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
start.
In the preseason, correct. In the his first rehearsal at Tokyo Dome. And yeah, I really liked his fastball. And I was watching I was sitting next to Jason Koskrie that day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason had – somebody put a video – I'm guessing a Giants fan had put up a video, a YouTube, of every pitch Aaron Pareda threw last year.
Wow. Fan? Stalker? You tell me.
Hashtag high heat.
Well, it wasn't the longest video in the world.
Oh,
you know, okay. It wasn't War and Peace or Lawrence of Arabia or anything.
All right, that makes it okay.
one after the other, but it was great because it was rapid fire. You could see basically right-handed hitters, up and in fastball, low and away slider, up and in, low and away, up and in, low and away.
Right.
And this fastball's live, although he said it's unpredictable.
Control-wise or speed-wise?
Well, he said it kind
of... Or all of the above.
Which way it's going to move on a given day.
Okay. Mm. Depends on how the blisters and the calluses are reacting that day, huh?
Yeah, it could be. You know, for the radioactive acting. So I don't know. But yeah, so he was a really nice interview and a real friendly guy, and I really enjoyed talking with him. And what he said was, and I mentioned this to you, you know, when he said that he doesn't like to walk people.
Yeah.
that's like the I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. It's like the grass cutter doesn't like to cut grass.
I don't like to walk people. They just happen to
cut that grass, but it's my job. he has traditionally walked a lot of people. It comes with having a very live and fastball that's a little on the unpredictable side. You know, he said his skill set is principally throwing his fastball by batters, and he can do that
mm-hmm.
when it's close enough to the strike zone and high in it. When he elevates that puppy, it's really tough.
Yeah, which was evidenced that day because I think at one point in the game he struck out five, at least I wrote down. He might have struck out more. I can look it up as we speak, but he struck out five consecutive batters. So
he struck out the side in the second.
Yeah, and so he struck out the last guy in the first inning and then the first guy in the next inning, at least the first guy. So I think I tweeted it, but I mean, he struck out a bunch of guys in a row.
Yep, I think he's going to strike out a bunch of guys this year. It's what he's always done. He's got the tools to do that. He's not a strikeout guy. He's going to fool you with, you know, deception.
Mm-hmm. No.
Other than, you know, wow, that was really fast. And wow, that had some bite to it. You know, that kind of deception, not junky, flaky stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, so that was interesting. And I think he's got, you know, he's obviously going to have some adjustments. He's still working on a number of adjustments, but I like him. I just don't know. I don't know. I hope that he finds his rhythm with the Giants. You know, finds a spot on the mounds that he likes here, and makes some subtle adjustments that he needs to keep his walks down. And then he does that. If he can do that, he could be pretty nasty here.
Yeah, I thought that. You know, the first thing I thought is it seems like the Giants put their guys, especially the new guys who come over, put them through some kind of sanitizer before they expose them to the media, because they don't say anything remotely controversial or something that could be misconstrued. But he did slip something in this chat later on, and I think it was kind of like a backdoor slider. And I asked him about the catchers,
right.
And I mentioned Kobayashi and Aikawa, but he only talked about Kobayashi. So that kind of tipped me off a little bit, perhaps. Maybe he just hasn't worked that much with Aikawa, so maybe I'm looking too much into it. But, you know, and obviously Kobayashi caught him that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that they have a better relationship, or he has a closer relationship with Kobayashi at the moment. And otherwise, I mean, it's hard to get anything out of these guys. They don't, and it's common among Giants players. I mean, they're just not.
It is. That's true. And I think his relationship with Kobayashi is probably that they both throw unpredictable fastballs.
And Kobayashi down the second, or sometimes past the third baseman.
Yeah.
And,
so they both got guns, and they don't always know where they're shooting.
Hashtag high heat.
And neither do the targets. Then don't call those people targets. But he did have another backdoor slider, and that was that he said he wanted to throw a complete game because he hasn't completed a game since rookie or double A. And I'm like, well, it ain't likely to happen here in Japan the way these guys can foul pitches off and take a lot of pitches and make you throw a lot of pitches.
He has the stuff that I think he can do that on a given day. He can do it. And of course, one of the reasons he hasn't done it is because he's been in relief for a while.
That's true.
So,
which I did see, yeah.
But without, of course, you know, I don't know what his third pitch is. I guess he's got a changeup. I think I saw him throw a changeup that day. So, you know, he's got a day when that one, the third pitch is working enough. Yeah, he could do it. Of course, even with his fastball, you know, he doesn't need a lot to go right for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could work a lineup over pretty well with that fastball with the movement he gets on it. You know, if his command is very sharp and one of his other pitches is working, he could do it, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, but the way these guys foul pitches off, they make him work so hard. I mean,
that is an issue. And
this is before
your
it gets
control
hard.
Is not on, and you're adding extra, you know, straws on that camel's back. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you find it strange to know that nobody told him about all the shoes he needed? I thought that was kind of weird.
No.
I mean, it brought up memories of Dan Johnson when he was with Yokohama and didn't have any bats.
Yeah, and the Lions had a player who didn't have any pants. Yeah, it's kind of noticeable. He had to wear...
kind of noticeable.
That was Craig Brazell. They didn't have pants big enough for him. They had to borrow one of the pitchers, you know, uniform pants. Well, they had a big guy with a...
Yeah, I'll get these back to you after the game, bud.
Don't mind the stains. They're grass stains, dude. The turf stains.
That is infield dirt, man. That is infield dirt.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it.
Well, I found it interesting. So,
now that's an old story in Japan because, you know, I'm going to sound like, you know, an old fart here and say, it's surprising in this day and age. I mean, but it used to be all the time.
Mm.
I mean, Brown said basically his career came to an end because they couldn't get the right shoes for him in Japan. Right. They couldn't get shoes that fit for him.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Right. So it's not that uncommon, and it is very expensive. I remember the Hanshin Tigers complaining. They bought a pair of custom spikes for there was a former Red Sox star who came here, and he left Japan after about a month, and they were stuck with these like $600 spikes.
Oh no!
Size 36 spikes.
Well, the Marty Brown story I remember you talking about before.
Yep, he's told me some other stories about that. The team assigned players to certain suppliers. And if you were assigned to Asics or Mizuno, and Asics or Mizuno didn't have your shoe or your bat or whatever, you know, you just went without.
Wow. Well, yeah, good on that. You know, I wonder about this too. That because he talked about getting in sync with the catcher when he did mm-hmm. talk about Kobayashi, and he said, you know, being on the same page is, and I wonder how big a part. Of being on the same page is it affects these pitchers in Japan, these foreign pitchers when they come over, because that's such a big deal in the States. It's such a big deal, I think, a lot of places. But when you have this communication, this barrier with the catcher, it's got to make it even more difficult.
Well, on the other hand, if they work together, it's going to get over quickly because, you know, it's not... One, it's not rocket science. It's, you know, the communication, and I don't want to make light of the communication between pitchers and catchers, but it's basically a matter of the catcher knowing what you want to throw and you understanding what the catcher wants, you know, that give and take.
Yeah, I understand.
So you know when the kid. So I think that's probably the hardest part as far as the communication goes and what you want to do. I think that usually happens, and after you work with a guy a little while, that happens. But I do think in Japan, we've seen where that goes haywire because, first of all, the Japanese teams want the catchers to be determining the pitch selection.
Mm.
Or they expect the catchers to determine the pitch selection.
They train them that way.
Right. That's important. And basically, they expect the catcher to throw down the sign that the pitcher wants to throw. Okay.
So that's
that's
already two different pages, yeah.
Right, exactly. And then you get the case where the manager will decide that he wants to call the pitches that he wants to give to the catcher that the pitcher wants to throw.
Yeah.
And we saw that in the Japan series in 2008. when basically the Giants decided that Seth Greisinger was going to have zero control over his pitch selection. And it was like he was really now that's my impression. That was, you know, he sort of hinted around that may have been what happened, and that sounded like what he was hinting at. He didn't want to like name names and, you know, put a headline on it for us simpleton writers. But basically he was saying, yeah, they wanted it. You know, this is the catcher and he's going to call the bench is going to call the pitches and you're just going to shut up and throw.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, that's what's called a building rapport.
In
Japan.
Not building. It's like,
and we'll have a good rapport.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, yeah, it was an interesting chat. If you look for those little backdoor sliders in that chat, and because it was thoroughly sanitized before.
When we talked, it wasn't going on the air. It was just being recorded for my benefit for a story. So
right. All right. Well, and I did talk to a beat writer who's covering the Giants and mm-hmm. discussed the team and they said, well, they think it's going to be a long season with the Giants. And I said, you know, probably a lot of people think that. I saw the Sports Hochi, a bunch of their analysts, former players, about 11 of them, and I think 6 of them picked the Giants to win. Now, part of that is because the Hochi Sports is part of the Yomiuri Group, so I think they felt obligated. But I really think that this team is going to compete, and it's just like I said, they can put just about anybody out there, and this is what happened on opening day. And so I want to talk about opening day because it was just, I mean, I just had so much fun.
You were at the ballpark.
I was at a ballpark. I went to Tokyo Dome. I mean, I had my options.
Pass.
What's that?
You didn't need a hall pass.
I didn't need a hall pass. Well, I took the day off.
Wow. Yeah, that's how some reporters get to cover stories. They take a day off.
Take the day off, yeah. You know, they had a really cool light show with dancers and stuff. I mean, they really did a nice job with the opening.
The Giants blow out they pretty much blow it out sometimes. One year they had the players, they showed the players arriving as holograms coming in from center field.
Oh.
It was like Star Wars.
That is awesome. Yeah, I usually don't even look up at these things. I'm getting ready for the game. I'm filling out my lineup card and all this other stuff. But I kept looking up and it was really cool. So the Giants go on to win the game. They played the Bay Stars. They won 3-2. And the guys they put out there, you know, Yoshinobu Takahashi, I'm laughing at him, and I'm like, what? But these guys, Hirokazu Ibata, I mean, didn't we just talk about how they were going to have problems at second base? And I'm like, you're just renting that spot until you don't hit a couple games, then they're going to yank you. But, I mean, all right, have a good day.
Yeah. That's a new meaning of have a good day. Yeah. Us Californians think it's important.
Yoshiyuki Kameyu ends up being the hero of the game, basically, because his home run, he hit a two-run home run in the second inning. And these old guys all contributed to a win, and these are not the guys we expected to see out there. We weren't sure that Hisayoshi Chono was going to be in second in center field, but he got healthy and got back in time to do that. So they talked about, you know, Scott Matheson being sent to the farm because his mechanics are all out of whack, and they looked at this team and they're like, it's going to be a long year. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think you're going to have bad days, but this team is going to compete because that's what they do. They don't just put people out there and say, try. They put them out there and they say, we're winning the game. That's their attitude.
That's true. I think that covers a lot. You know, that I did pick them last, but the problem with that is that they probably deserve to finish last. But on the other hand, they just, you know, because they go out expecting to win every game or expecting to compete and be in every game.
And have a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, before the start of the game, they expect to win. Whatever day it is, today's the day we're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to finish last when that's your attitude if you have enough talent.
Right.
Unless, you know, and the last time the Giants did really poorly was when they had a very divisive manager and coaching staff, and the whole thing was self-destructive. Mm-hmm. I think they finished fifth in 2004. No, 2005.
Five. Yeah, I would say five, yeah.
So I doubt that's going to happen. But on the other hand, it's not going to be – I don't think it's going to be an easy league this year.
No, and you could see that. I mean, they were in this opening game, they were pretty much in control, but when you looked up, they only won 3-2. And the Bay Stars had their opportunities. They even had the bases loaded. And there was one out in, I guess it was the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
And a fly ball out to medium left. And Takahashi gets it and throws it back. And I'm like, well, nah, they're not going to get him. And it was Aaron Baldarese who was running from third. And
right.
He couldn't get home. It was a great block by Kobayashi, the young catcher. And I timing wise, I was sitting next to Jason as well. And I said, man, he looks safe to me. But then when I got home and saw the replays, he was never able to touch home base, so he never got in. So.
Because he was blocking the plate without the ball?
No, he was blocking the plate in a fair way. I mean, he had some room, he got the ball, and then he took the room away. It was a great play.
Well, if you've got the ball, then you're entitled to get run over.
Yeah, he had the ball. So, I mean, that was a great game. And then you were out at Tokorozawa at Seibu Prince Dome.
Yeah, I can't get used to that one yet.
And that was a good game too.
I'm looking forward to the day when it's known as the dome that was formerly known as Seibu Prince Dome.
Hashtag high heat.
Nice one. Good one. I like that.
a beautiful game. We had two substitute starters. Opening day starters.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you say substitute.
We had two substitute opening day starters, and the batters took extended recess. These guys, the pitchers pitched really well, Makita and Brandon Dixon. And Brandon Dixon said he didn't pitch that well, but I think he was being a little hard on himself. He missed some pitches, yeah. And one of them cost him the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he left my colleague who speaks really good English, but is new to baseball, said, "What's a cookie?"
What's a cookie?
Well, he said he was throwing some cookies, but they weren't biting. But I didn't see that. What I saw is he was able to command this. Basically he's a sinker slider guy, but he had a four seams fastball that he was elevating that he was getting outs with.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow, this is a new look. But that kind of, I think he lost a little of that as the game wore on, and he left a few up in the zone, and that was the game. But it wasn't a bad effort. I thought it was very solid. Makita was similar. He made some mistakes early on. His command was not good, but they were unable to capitalize.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting game. One of the interesting things was that Tomiya Mori is 19-year-old Seibu catcher, and he became the youngest designated hitter to ever start on opening day.
Huh.
Which is sort of
I did not see that note. Yeah.
It's usually, what I want to see is the oldest designated hitter to start on opening day. Probably need a wheelchair. who was that guy? Might have been Ochiai or somebody like that. So. In any case, Tomiya Mori was 19. He had a scary first at bat against Brandon Dixon, and Brandon Dixon was throwing him fastballs inside, and trying to foul, in off the plate, trying to get him to foul him off.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. He fouled him off about 20 rows just past the foul pole. Foul.
Mm.
Okay, let's try a different plan.
Yeah.
I think he missed him in that at bat, but. He was good. Of course, he's the youngest. Obviously, he's not the youngest guy to start on opening day, obviously. I mean, Shohei Ohtani was 18 when he started, but he was not a designated hitter then. He was the fighter's right fielder.
Right.
So, but otherwise, yeah, it was a pretty well-played game. There was not too much, basically the pitching was good. The hitting was a little rusty, I thought, both sides.
So. Yeah, and then up in Sapporo, Shohei Ohtani wasn't very sharp. He was wobbly again, but they weren't hitting him. It wasn't like he was giving up a lot of hits. He just didn't. He wasn't looking sharp. I think he topped out at 99 miles an hour. And I guess when you're not sharp, if you got 99 in your back pocket, you can use that to get some outs, or 98 or 97, and that's what he did.
Yeah, well, he left after after 5 2/3.
Yeah, and this for me, this is the third time. This is a trend that he's got like a cramp in his calf that he's had to leave a game.
Yeah,
he was pitching, and
I think that's why he didn't bat today.
Yeah, that's bothering me now because that.
Wow, that's some cramp.
Well,
you know, he gets a cramp and it bothers you. you're like the world's biggest empath, Mr. Gibson. It's like some people go, ah, it's cold, and you go, oh, Shohei Ohtani's got a cramp, it hurts.
Stop it. I was going to say I'm his after twin, like I was born like, or he's my after twin, he was born like several decades after me, but whatever happens to him, I kind of feel it, but no, that's not the case.
I don't think I want to go too far in that direction.
Good, just turn around and go back.
Please, your GPS is broken, dude.
But yeah, it's starting to bother me that he's getting calf cramps and can't finish a game. That's no, we're gonna have to fix that. Somebody get this guy some water during the week. Get his fluids up or something. I don't know. I mean, it seems to be a calf all the time, so we have to keep an eye on that. If that happens again, that will be one of the questions I ask him when I see him. What's up with your legs? You're not a marathon runner. You should be getting calves, cramps in your calf. Let's straighten this thing out here.
Okay. There was another game in Hiroshima. We had another tight game. We had a bunch of tight games in opening night. This one was an extra inning game.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is in the result. Now, Yakult won on opening day for the second straight year. Okay, fair enough. No problem there. Now, what some of you might not know is that on Friday night after they won, it was the first time Yakult had been over 500 since opening day of 2014.
Uh-huh. Which I tweeted. I said, hey, Swallows are over 500.
Well, that you were correct, it's been a year coming, and now they're no longer over 500. That lasted for all of one day.
It didn't last a day. It was less than 24 hours because it was a night game, and then they had the day game that they lost. Yeah,
yes, the day game following. They didn't even have a full night's sleep to enjoy.
No, they didn't, probably, knowing them. And that's the way they hit the next day, but we want to talk about the other stuff, and then we'll get to the next day. And then my Dragons also lost in extra innings. They lost at Kyocera Dome to the Tigers, and just kind of, you know, weird that Daisuke Yamai pitched so well and looked like he was going to get a win, and then the bullpen, that was the one thing I said that's probably the most stable part of the team, and that broke down. They gave up runs late and got into extra innings, and then they couldn't finish that off, and the Tigers won. So just a great game, great situation up there. And then SoftBank lost Kimiyasu Kudo's debut, and the thing about that game, that which I had on my computer, thank goodness for Pauleague TV, had that on my computer, and every time something bad happened and they showed Kudo, it's like somebody just threw a bucket of cold ice water on him. He just had this look.
He had a bit of a sour expression, did he?
He had this look like, what? This is not the way it's supposed to go. Excuse me.
Coaches, are we due over? Where's the reset button?
Yeah. This is, hey, nobody told me. Hey, excuse me. Can you hear me? I mean, you know, he just had this look. And they ended up losing this game 3-1, and they ended up losing the series, but we'll talk about that too. But
the interesting thing here is, you know, I was wondering, well, I guess we were all wondering. In fact, we basically wrote Lotte off for the season because they named Hideaki Wakui as their opening day starter.
And I kept screaming next to Jason, I'm like, it's Wakui, get a hit. And they were getting hits here and there.
Right.
It wasn't like he shut him down.
But I think that somehow that Ito was channeling Kuriyama, and that somebody told him that Wakui hadn't lost in Fukuoka in like 7 years.
Ah.
And he still hasn't lost. He hasn't lost since like May of 2008.
Wow.
He's won 5 straight decisions there now. So I think that was the thing. And I think it's a matter of he's not really the guy they think is going to be. It could be that they don't really think he's an opening day starter, but let's throw him out there and what the heck.
Yeah, there it is. May 14th of 2008. Wow.
So Well, I mean, that's a, I mean, managers know that stuff, I guess. Some of them do. And if you're Nippon Ham, you run your whole team like that. Let's see, you get the, it's not like the Ouija board, but it's like, well, this guy pitches wells on days that have R's in them. So
it's a Ouija sabermetrics.
Ouija metrics.
I like that. We have to use that. All right. Well, I want to talk first about the overall weekend, and then get into some specifics. Now, the new managers, and I want to count Nori Otanabe as a new manager,
okay,
because he's breaking camp for the first time as
a manager. Okay, I'm with that. Whatever John says, I'm okay with.
Wow.
You got 60 seconds to go with that.
All right. I'm going to use them all up then. First day, all the new managers went a combined 2-3. And Kudo lost. Ogata lost. Hiroshima Carp manager Koichi Ogata, he lost. And Dave Okubo with the Rakuten Eagles lost.
Right.
And Mitsuru Manaka of the Swallows, he was a winner. And Tanabe was a winner with the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And overall on the weekend, the new managers went 8-7.
Well, that's because Tanabe, the new manager, swept his series with Oryx, so that helped.
Right. Okubo is 1-2, Kudo is 1-2, Ogata is 2-1, Manaka is 1-2. So the only reason they're above 500 is because the old new manager
right,
is 3-0.
That's right.
And good for him. And I want to count him because as I was saying before we started taping, hey, he took over somebody's pot of soup last year.
Oh man, talking about Ihara's pot—that's foul. And I like Haruki Ihara, as you know, I do. I'm not a fan, but I do like him. I get along well with him. He's always honest with me, so which is not always something you expect from managers,
right? So, but I think overall the weekend was great. I think the most excitement we had was down in Hiroshima, I guess, if you want to talk about the two-day situation on Saturday and Sunday. Chris Johnson, the starter on Saturday for the Carp, making his debut. And mm-hmm. we really hadn't heard a lot about him. At least I didn't really hear that much about him in this
game. Yeah, people kept calling him Zach.
What's up with that?
What's up with that, Gibson?
I don't know. I don't know that many Zachs. He gets to the fourth inning and he's perfect. And you know, I had the game on TV, but basically I was looking at the Giants and I heard them say perfect through four. And you know, who cares? It's four innings.
It's four, exactly.
It's four innings. You know, don't bother me. Call me after five, and I might pay attention.
Yeah.
So after five. After five, I did start tuning in a little bit more often, but I still was watching the Giants game, obviously from the office. And then he gets through the sixth, so now we got to put it on because this is a serious situation. We were in near scramble mode to start finding out, you know, information, and we're going to have to call all over the place. And luckily, I guess you could say.
I know that feeling. Okay, I've always got to hit relax.
Tetsuto Yamada drops this little floater down the right field line just inside the line and fair and gets a hit. And, you know, that's over. But that's the only hit. Chris Johnson throws a one-hitter. Just a gem. Unbelievable start. And then it reminded me of the start that Kira Kaihue had for the Carp, where he hits three home runs in a game, and then it never got that good again. And I'm just thinking, it can't be this good again.
Well, it won't get much better. It can't get much better.
No walks, one base runner, yeah.
Okay, if it's 90%, that's good. You know, he wins a Sawamura Award. So, yeah, well, the interesting thing here was that he's the third Carp pitcher to throw a shutout in his Japan debut.
Huh.
Okay. And the last one to do it also pitched on Saturday. Brian Bullington.
Oh, Bullington. Oh, okay.
And he, you know, and I said to him today, I said, you know, Brian, it's like you never left Hiroshima. Because Brian used to say, or he said the last 2 years, every time I win, it's when I'm pitching lousy. And every time I pitch really good, I lose. And he pitched really well on Saturday, and he lost. And the Oryx lost 2-0. So anyway, so I saw that, and I thought, wow, Brian's like spiritually still with Hiroshima.
Spiritually.
Still losing the good games.
Spiritually. Interesting. So that was a great, great debut for Chris Johnson. He had a really interesting interview. The post-game interview was fun for him, I think. And great debut. And then Sunday, Hiroki Kuroda makes his long-awaited debut, or I'm sorry, return debut. I don't know what to call these. It's not just a return.
Is it an encore tour?
The encore tour. All right.
Is it a farewell tour? You know, is it a Jeter farewell tour? We don't know.
We don't know. And he said today on the in the interview, he says, look, I don't know how long my body's going to hold out, but I want to pitch and help the team win, you know, as long as I'm healthy, as long as I can do it. So
what a shock of an interview that was.
Well, that wasn't it. The entire realm of the interview was, you know,
yeah,
a lot of
that's what they're, you know, he's gonna say in this situation. It's pretty predictable.
But
okay, go ahead.
He has a great, well, I shouldn't say great game, but it was a pitching duel, and the kid I liked, I think I talked about him on the prediction show that we did for the Central League.
Sugiura,
was one of the pitchers I liked, and I had liked what I'd seen him from last year when he was a rookie and as a second year guy. You know, he didn't match Kuroda pitch for pitch because he was giving up more base runners and there were guys all over the place, but he did match him 0-0 until late in the game. I think it was the fifth inning or sixth inning. I can't remember. The Carp managed to get a run across. And so Sugiura ends up taking the loss, but Kuroda, great debut for him, even though it was a really nervy ninth inning, I think, for him. Deontay Heath had to throw out he had to cut down the tying run at the plate on a squeeze play that he jumped off the mound, got the ball, made a nice throw and got the out, and then got a fly ball that probably, you know, if they were doing something crazy like playing the outfield in like these managers like to do, even though there are two outs in a situation, that thing would have gone to the wall. But he gets out of the inning and preserves the win for Kuroda, and just a really nice day, really good day for that team.
Yeah, Kuroda had an interesting interview on a broadcast on NHK last week in which I was watching it because he might say something newsworthy.
Right.
He might say something about, you know, revealing or interesting about the States that would be news here. But, you know, it was like he came back because when he left, the fans said, you know, do well over there, and you know, we wish you well. We understand, we understand, we understand. We love you. You know, we'll be cheering for you.
Right.
And he went like, and then he blurted out, "I'll be back." 7 years later, going, "What was I thinking?" I'm joking, but yeah. He said that, and he never forgot saying that. And I think at some point he must have been kicking himself thinking he said that. But at other times, you know, it worked out well. And he got the news about Kuroda in America almost disintegrated as soon as he said, you know, at his post-game that it was very hard for him in the States.
Right.
You know, keeping the standard that he wanted to meet in the States was very hard on him.
Right.
And people in the States, some people took that the wrong way. Like, he didn't like being there.
Yeah, I saw some of the reactions.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, get your head out of someplace it shouldn't be.
Hashtag high heat.
Maybe it should, and that's why they're thinking
that. Yeah, some of those. Well, I mean, anatomically speaking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, how dare he say that? But, you know, it was very, the response he got from the fans was just tremendous. And the welcome he got when he took the mound in his first game. Now, I didn't see this because I tuned in like right after the start of his first game here.
Mm-hmm.
The fans all through the stadium chanted his name.
Mm.
Were standing up and chanting. They had a chant for him, all prepared.
Right.
It was just tremendous. I was, you know, tears were coming. cheers, yeah. Mike. You know, the waterworks going here.
I bet it would happen to me if I was there, but I was in a meeting, so I couldn't see that.
I saw a video 2 weeks later, and I was crying, dude.
Oh, man.
That's just me.
Well, really good for them, really good for him. We're happy. We don't want to treat him like he's going to be the person who kicks the carp over into the championship team that we think they are. I think it's going to be a whole team effort. I don't think it's going to be the one guy, but he's definitely going to be able to contribute. If he's going to pitch and keep them in games like he did today, they're going to have a lot of chances to win the games he starts.
Mm-hmm.
And one other interesting thing about these managers I wanted to bring up was that the guys who didn't win the first day all won on the second day. So they were two and three on the first day, but the new managers all got their first wins. The rest of them got their first wins on Saturday.
That's correct.
And then the Buffaloes got swept. The Dragons got swept in Kyocera Dome. And then Okubo and the Eagles lost. They went 1-2 in that series. But I'm thinking, they started Yokoyama today, the Eagles did, and I'm thinking, what's the deal with that?
I don't know.
And then I started looking around, and I'm like, well, the Dragons also, they had Yudai Ono they should have started, and they started someone else. And you start looking around.
Started Tomoya Yagi today.
They started a retread.
Well, because he was
a
good.
A double retread.
That's probably what.
He was good in the spring. He was good in rehearsal.
Right.
But now the lights are on. And he's just exposed to be a roach. But anyway.
Wow.
I don't get this trend. And I think it's been happening for a couple 3 years now where managers are saving some of their better starters for that home opener. And it's really, really starting to annoy me because these are situations. I mean, Okubo, it's his first series. You need to go out strong. You need to pitch your best pitchers, your best players all the time, but as much as you can. I shouldn't say all the time.
Well, sure,
as much as you can.
Start of the season, if you can get a squeeze an extra start in between now and game 143, you do it. So why give one start to Bozo?
Right. I mean, and you
no disrespect.
No disrespect to Bozo and all other people with long puffy hair and round red noses and big shoes. But I don't get it and I don't like it because you need these wins. You can't just give games away, but it was the same with Oryx today. They started a butt rookie what is his name? Sachia? Sachia? I just don't get it. Just throw the game away. Just say, hey, look,
Well, Oryx right now
we don't need this one.
Well, they're actually – well, see, I think Oryx, what they're doing is we're playing Cebu and SoftBank's up next.
Well, at this point, if you win one game – let's say you win one game over the first week, what does it matter which one it is?
Well, I think their thinking is SoftBank's a bigger deal than Cebu.
All right. Well, I'm just thinking get the wins when you can get them and worry about the other ones later. So I don't like it, and I think Okubo is falling into that trend. And I as a new manager, I would think, he got away with Kenny Ray and on Saturday.
That was weird. Kenny Ray's out there going, well, I didn't pitch well, but I won, so I'm happy. And of course,
you saw that interview?
I did. His second time in Japan. He pitched for the Eagles a little bit 2 years ago.
Yeah, he says, I don't even know why I'm out here, but okay. I'll take
why
it.
He's in Japan. I like Kenny. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But, who was we were talking about with some people who were looking for jobs at NPB and saying, there's still a chance. The Eagles signed Kenny Ray. I do like Kenny. He's pitched forever and he's pitched everywhere. It's like, which is great because, if you're playing somewhere and you got a guy on the team doesn't know where it is, Kenny's been there. He can tell you where the good places to eat are, where all the little hacks are. So it's great to have guys like that on the team.
It was Yuki Matsui came out and saved that game for him, saved the win. It was his first win in Japan because the other times he pitched in Japan, he hadn't won. So it was his first win in Yuki Matsui, and I saw it coming, and I had tweeted about it, and Matsui came out, and he even admitted in the interview, he said, look, I was nervous, But, you know, I'm used to pitching. And, you know, I said that I think he's better off as a starter, but I think he's good in this closer role because he doesn't have to throw. He doesn't have to think too much. Fastball, curveball. He's got a changeup, too, that he'll throw. And I think he'll throw it. And it's just a matter of reading the batters. But just spot your pitches, and you don't have to worry about trying to work your way through a lineup and you know, turning over the lineup and going through it again and all that stuff. Just throw your pitches, make your pitches, and let's go home. And so he was really good.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Sachi Yamazaki today because he was a big deal. I mean, he was big news up there because of his college, you know, his college numbers, and he was Oryx's top draft pick. And I think the fact that he pitched really, really, really well in the spring, you know, I mean, yeah, and then he came out the
spring.
Right. But, I mean, you know, one walk in 11 innings and
whatever.
Two hits in 11 innings and no runs and 7 strikeouts. And, yeah, he looked like he could be that pitcher. But, you know, he's going to have to sort of like and I saw things I really liked about him. What they say a lot in Japan is that his strikes were strikes and his balls were balls.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I'm saying? That he was sort of like, you know, when he was trying to throw a strike, you could throw a strike. And when he was trying to throw a ball, it wasn't going to get close enough to hit. So he was very deliberate in that sense. But the problem I felt was he was kind of, I don't know what, he said that he was having some mechanical issues or he said something felt funny and he couldn't quite get over it. So he was having an issue today. But I think he's going to be pretty good. And I don't think that was a fluke. Of course, the interesting one was Seibu's throwing Kuo Chun-Lin.
Okay.
And this is his first pro game.
Yep.
He was an amateur in Taiwan, pitched for the national team in the Asian Games. He also had a kind of a rough outing. His was went the other way from Yamasaki's. And he gave up a bunch of hits, and all of a sudden he stopped giving up hits and started walking people. But he didn't give up any hits, so it didn't bother him. You know, it didn't hurt him.
Right.
He went 5 innings, and he looked pretty good too. He's got some good pitches. He had a changeup, and he had a nice fastball and a nice slider. Yamasaki's slider didn't impress me. I thought his fastball was okay. I think he threw a splitter that looked pretty good. But yeah, it was an interesting game from that respect because they had two guys making their pro debuts. So from that point, from that perspective, I also think I liked at Seibu is I got to see the Seibu's because they won all 3 games. I could see how the back of their bullpen's working.
Uh huh.
We got to see Vasquez today. I didn't see him on. I didn't go Saturday, so I didn't see that. But we got to see Masuda as their setup guy and Tomomi Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in his third year. As their second year as a closer, and he didn't look that sharp today, but he's got 3 saves.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It was a great weekend. Some other highlights. Ryoma Matsuda of the Hanshin Tigers became the first pitcher in that club in franchise history in 62 years to win games 1 and 2 of the season.
years ago, the guy started and won both in complete games.
Really?
I'm joking.
Okay.
But that's something.
Yeah, he's a reliever.
He's
a reliever, and he came out.
It would very likely have happened as 62 years ago for the guy to start one game, then come and pitch 5 or 6 innings in relief and win the next.
Yeah. And then for the Dragons, they lost walk-offs in games 1 and 2, and that's the first time in their club history. It's also the first time in 35 years that the Dragons have lost 3 straight to start the season. And the Lions, I think this is obviously you were there. So the Lions, it was the first time in 48 years that they'd opened up with back-to-back shutouts.
Well, I wasn't there 48 years ago, thank goodness.
So all in all, very interesting. A great weekend. You know, just great way to get it started. A lot of close games.
Yep.
Of course, we didn't see the best pitchers that some teams have to offer because they're holding them over until the home opener. So
I don't know because, you know, we were talking about that today, and it seems Oryx is – there's some issues, fitness issues with Oryx's pitchers.
Not just Kaneko.
No. I did spot Kaneko today, though, so he's with the team.
Good. All right. One note, Matt Merton and Randy Messenger of the Hanshin Tigers are both getting close to some, well, one a milestone and one a franchise record. Mm-hmm. If Merton records 130 hits in 88 or fewer games this season, and obviously I got this stat before the season started,
right,
he will pass Boomer Wells for the fastest import player to reach 1,000 hits.
That's a tough order.
130 in 88.
That's tough, but not unmanageable, but not a piece of a cake either.
No, I wouldn't imagine that it is, and I don't think he's going to really concern himself too much with it.
No, I don't think so either.
I bet you he'd like to get that. I think he'd like to have that. So if it happens, I mean, this is a guy who led the obviously set a Central League record for hits in a season.
He set an NPB. He owns the NPB hit record
for a season, so it's not like it's out of the realm of possibility and all that stuff. So, yeah.
No.
Yeah. But that is a tall order, but we'll see.
Yep.
Randy Messenger, he needs 54 strikeouts to tie Gene Baki for most in franchise history by a foreign pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so he struck out 4 on opening night, so he needs 50 more. And that record seems like it's going down.
Yep.
He looks like he's going to own that one. All right.
The only thing that's going to stop him is his hair.
He let it grow out.
He did. I asked him about it. I said, what's with the disco look?
Oh.
Hashtag high heat.
And he said, look, my son's growing out. Growing his hair out, so until the team tells me to cut it, I'm growing mine out too.
Disco, nice.
It's big hair. Randy used to have it pretty short cut. You know, he looked like he had the trucker thing going on.
Yeah.
And now he looks like he's channeling John Travolta. He's got some pretty impressive big hair there.
All right, well, let's go to fielding questions before somebody breaks out with some Bee Gees.
Man, we're not going there.
All right,
not even going to joke there.
All right, this is from Kyle via Twitter, and he writes, which of the young hitters are you most excited to see this year?
Wow. Ask me about young hitters. That's dangerous. How about you, John?
It's a very simple question for me. I want to see Tomoya Mori. We talked about him before. You talked about him earlier in the show.
Yep.
You talked about him in the prediction show. This kid can really swing it, and he's a little stub of a guy. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, you got to see him up close now. You see what I'm talking about?
He is small.
He's smaller. You said Nakamura, that he's like the same. He's like built the same.
No, I said he has the same build as Nakamura.
No, this guy is short and stubby, and there's no fat on him. I mean, he's got chunkiness to him, but not fat. Not like Nakamura.
Well, that can't see, but I'll tell you. You know, the other guy is Hotaka Yamakawa, who is also a Seibu. I think he's a catcher as well.
Yeah, that guy's built like Nakamura.
Yeah, but the two of them, one of them's a right-handed hitter, one's a left-handed hitter, and they look different, but their bodies are similar. Yamakawa's a little bigger. He's not as big as Nakamura even. They're mm-hmm. both smaller. But these two guys, they're chunky. Yamakawa's 22. And he can really rake. And Mori was 18 last year, and he was one of, I guess, the top 5 or 6 minor league hitters in Japan last year.
Yeah. I'm gonna...
Excuse me. Yeah, 18.
Yeah.
This guy can really play. There's a bunch of guys. Seiya Inoue, who was the fourth round? He was a top draft pick from Lotte last year, and he ripped up the spring training. He's hitting he's hitting 460 or 340 or something. He's ripping up the Eastern League right now, so he's not playing. Kentaro Inamoto, who I like with SoftBank, doesn't have a place to play except the Western League. Who else? Taisei Makihara, last year's Western League batting champion, another SoftBank Hawks guy who doesn't have – he's 21 years old. He can really hit. He's got no place to play because he plays for the Hawks. Bunch of these. There's more Hawks. There's a guy with the Fighters. I wish they keep giving him up. They keep giving him 1 and 2 game shots to play. And that's Shingo Ishikawa.
Mm-hmm.
this guy can really hit. He's a 20-year-old. Well, I guess he's 22 now. But this guy can really hit. He could hit at the top level if they let him play, but they're not going to let him play. So, and then, of course, I mentioned in the preview Takuya Takahama. But, you know, and I'll keep it short. This is it. The guy I really like, the guy who'd be a really big plus for the Hanshin Tigers, is if they found Kosuke Fukudome a retirement home. Ooh. and let Hayata Ito play.
I like him. He looks good, but I haven't seen him produce. But again, he's had such a limited time to
play.
Yeah,
they give him 10, 12 at-bats at a time and said, you're not ready. But he can definitely hit better than Fukudome. No question. He's about 30 years younger.
Hashtag high heat.
Okay, I'm joking. He's 12 years younger, but still.
All right.
He's 30 years in baseball years.
All right. So now that your list of 50 guys is done.
I'm not even scratching the surface.
Well, don't.
No, I'm not going there.
If you're not scratching, don't scratch the surface.
I give up. I surrender, John.
Please stop.
I will.
My other young hitter I want to see is Shohei Ohtani. I mean, those are the two guys, Mori and Ohtani right now for me. I want to see what they do. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to see what they do because the guys you're talking about, they're ghosts. They're playing on the Eastern League. You're not going to see them.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
You only know about them.
You'll get to hear who Ernesto Mejia likes.
Okay.
Except the right hand, the veteran left-handed hitter for the Giants, who nobody knows what he's talking about. He was going, tell me, who's this guy they call the robot? He's a left-handed hitter. He's a veteran. He's got perfect mechanics. And we're all going, Abe. No, not Abe. Yoshinobu. No, not Yoshinobu. Well, come in. There are no other left-handed hitters.
Yeah, I would imagine he was talking about Abe.
I would think so, but he was determined it wasn't Abe.
Well, we'll find
out. He said, I'm not good with names, and then he proved it.
All right. Well, it was a great, great opening weekend. I'm really happy. I'm going to watch Pro Yaku News one more time before I go to sleep.
Wow. Get John a vaccination. He needs some rest. The opening series was too much.
I don't need a vaccination. I just need all the games. I get frustrated when I can't see all the games. I need all six games going at once. That's what I need. No vaccination is going to fix that. You got the kudo face.
Okay, well,
you got the kudo face. Somebody just threw cold water on you.
That's enough for me. That's enough for me this week.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for listening. And remember, you can email us at yakyujohn@gmail.com or send us a tweet at #highheat at JBWPodcast. And we'll talk to you next week after another week of great games. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.